Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter Vigil. When you first heard about this opportunity to come together for something called an Easter Vigil, what did you think? I wonder if some people didn't ask, really? Another service? Can't we wait until Sunday? Well, surprise, rather than being new or rather this kind of randomly placed service in the Lenten season, the Easter Vigil is actually one of the oldest services in the Christian church. So old is it, in fact, that in AD 200, the church leader Tertullian referenced the existence of this service in North Africa. And it's always been the first service of Easter. Held prior to the sunrise, the Easter Vigil signals that the darkness of what has happened will not overcome what is yet to happen. In other words, the glory of Christ's resurrection given to us in faithful hope when proclaimed and pondered provides this immense comfort in times of spiritual darkness. Think about it. Darkness often makes us uneasy because it creates uncertainty. When power outages, this just happened not that long ago, right? Power outages occur, and we have no flashlight. Trying to find our way can be hazardous. Heads can bump into walls or into ceilings or into overhangs, right? Feet can stumble over toys or, there's nothing more fun than stepping on those Legos, right? When the fire goes out on a camping trip, one never knows, at least in one's mind, what could jump out of the bushes, ready to pounce on unsuspecting campers. When the nightlight suddenly flickers, young hearts in rooms down the hall from you cry out for slumbering parents. Darkness creates uncertainty. And if you heard the scripture readings tonight, I know they're a little longer, but worth always reading. I hope you heard one great truth that runs through the many pages of the Bible. God always comes through in the darkest hours of uncertainty. Whether he was rescuing the Israelites from Pharaoh's armies, Exodus 14, protecting three men in a fiery furnace, Daniel 3, sending a whale to pluck obstinate Jonah from the water and then spit him out and point him once again to Nineveh, Jonah 3, God shows himself to be a trustworthy savior from life's uncertainties in many of life's darkest moments. In fact, the resurrection of Christ that we hear about tonight reminds us that God's word brings light and certainty. For three times, Jesus predicted that he would be raised from death. There were over 50 Old Testament prophecies about God's promised Messiah that all come together now. And that promise is brought to light in Jesus, and he breaks through our uncertainty. So I guess, sure, the 11 should have known. Those who had lived with Jesus for 3 years heard him preach. They who have watched him drive out demons and restore the use of legs and ears and eyes, bring dead people back to life, they should have known. They who watched him calm storms and quiet grieving families and feed hungry crowds, they should have known that Friday could not possibly be the end of the story. And especially they who had seen him transfigured in radiant glory, who heard him say repeatedly that he would rise from the dead after being put to death, they should have known. As the scriptures say, God could not possibly let his Holy One see decay. And true to his word, darkness did not overcome. Not the darkness of the disciples' doubt or instability or fear. Christ rose victorious. Of this we can be absolutely certain. The rise of the church in adversity proclaims it. The resoluteness of saints throughout time and history proclaim it. The scriptures proclaim it. Why, a tomb that still stands open and empty proclaims it. So do you face uncertainty? Uncertainty about your job? Uncertainty about your child's future? Did the doctors just notify you about a matter that casts a shadow on your health? Does constant news about the virus grant you this uneasy anxiety? Well, Don't just try to cheer yourself with thoughts of things that eventually will get better, or incredible blossoms on trees, or past vacation destinations. I mean, that's all good. Rather, let the light of Christ's resurrected glory dispel the darkness of those things that cause you to stumble in the uncertainty and fear and sin. Turn to the things that you know. The certainty of His love shown on the cross. The certainty of His power over death. The certainty of His gift of eternity. The certainty that those who have lived and died for such truth time and time again in the past, you will see again. Turn to the certainty of His Word. It stood the test of time and scrutiny and criticism. We were made for so much more than fear. Oh God, may the darkness only make us more resilient, more ready for the light that scatters the darkness. Make us more resilient, Lord. For yeah, darkness speaks to uncertainty, but it also speaks to the presence of sin and evil. For instance, Job's known something about this. But when I hoped for good, evil came. And when I waited for light, darkness came, Job 30:26. Psalm 91 speaks about this as well in ominous tones, right? The pestilence that stalks in the darkness. In our imaginations, there are legends of vampires and werewolves and zombies that locate all their frightening activities at night. We taunt the darkness by teaching our children to be afraid of everything that goes bump in the night. I guess then it shouldn't be a surprise that Satan himself is called the Prince of Darkness, that hell is known as the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I guess it's also not a surprise that the demons trembled then, screamed in agony whenever Jesus came into their presence. For the living light was overcoming the powers of darkness in ways that foreshadowed His complete triumph over evil. The triumph that His resurrection from the dead would accomplish. And He shared that light with you in baptism. For in baptism we were joined to Christ Jesus, and through that union we receive all that's His. We now walk in His light. See, here's the thing. I can't promise you that the risen Christ will heal your tumor. I can't promise that the resurrected Lord will restore your sight or your hearing or your mobility. I can't promise that He'll do for you any of those things that He did for the Palestinians of His day, for many of those were done as foreshadowings of the new creation that He'll one day restore on the last day. Every miracle showed us His power, His love, the kingdom that He came to bring in part and one day in full. Those were simply rays of light that were piercing the darkness of sin. So it's fitting that a feature of Easter Vigil is a remembrance of baptism. We did this at the beginning of service, like we do at the beginning of many services. We've been made new. Remember, Paul writes, at one time you were darkness, but now you've been made light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So know for certain that whatever evil threatens you, it's been robbed of its power. Those things live only on whatever credibility and strength that you give them. Turn to Christ in confidence that the light of His resurrection has triumphed over evil. By faith in Christ, we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness. We've been made a child of light. And yet, you know, just one more. As we have recently seen in all too graphic a detail, darkness also shows us a shroud that still remains. New York City knows this. New Orleans has felt its pain and its frightening touch. So has Italy and China, countless other nations and people and neighborhoods around the world's newest and most real virus outbreak. But the reality of death that plagues us is nothing new. It came along long before there were things as COVID-19 or SARS or cancer or flu pandemics of 1918. Of this reality, Jeremiah laments in Lamentations 3:6, God has made me to dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. And the realm of the dead is described as utter darkness. Now I would guess the light of hope felt rather dim then too. Still, long before Jeremiah sadly uttered these words, God promised through the prophet Isaiah that he would remove the shroud of death and the fear that surrounds us, and he's done it by raising his son to life. See, this year's Easter Vigil stands before us today, and it tells us what has happened to Jesus by the working of God will one day happen to us as well. You and I and all the faithful will be raised from the darkness of death to life eternal. Paul even writes, if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united in a resurrection like his. This is God's promise to you. If you grieve over the loss of a loved one in death, grieve not as those who have no hope. If these days of fear threaten to grip you, place your hope in the gifts of God's vocational grace all around us. And the proclaimed truths of his timeless word. The darkness of the grave has been turned into the shadow of the valley of death. The light of Christ's resurrection enlightens us with this promise. Here it is. Because I live, you also will live. So turn to the light of the Easter Vigil. Turn to the Savior. Turn to a faith made more durable by suffering endured in hope and adversity that turns Christianity into more than just being a pew being filled or a song being sung or a bulletin being handed out or a box being checked. Turn to the Lord and wait. Wait in hope. Wait in security. Wait in confidence and forethought. Wait knowing that he is working in the darkness. And God has done in the past, as he's done in the past, he's using this darkness to refine us, to slow us down, to make us think about that which is most important. He's inviting us back into the light. So we wait and we watch and we pray and we act in love and we share his word. And as you wait, let the word that you have heard remind you of God's power and grace, and may it strengthen you with his promises. They are just as sure and certain as the sunrise that absolutely will scatter the darkness and bring us the light of a new day. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come and scatter the darkness. And he will. In Jesus' name. Amen.